from ComedyFilmNerds.com with Graham Elwood.
The Floating Force of Pandora, ever heard of it?
And Chris Mancini.
What clan are you from?
This is the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast.
It's not that great.
This is not the ninja movie I signed up for.
Cousin Eddie's package.
Why can't this happen?
I got nothing going on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Comedy Film Nerds Podcast, episode number 65.
Sponsored by Wilson Soap.
Wilson Soap.
For all your cleaning needs.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system.
Skynet just took over.
Yeah. They took over my voice.
That was so weird. Yeah, it was. Sounded a little robotic.
Arigato.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Episode 65,
episode
my friend.
65.
Seriously. 65.
We've done 65 episodes.
No, 64. This is 65.
Oh, nice.
300 more, and that's a year's worth.
You're right.
Wow. Yeah, that's some first grade info right there.
Yeah.
Actually, the capital of Wyoming's moved from Cheyenne to Rawlings.
That's outrageous.
I didn't know. I don't know where the capital of Wyoming
is. No, he doesn't have Wikipedia.
Cheyenne.
It is Cheyenne. It
is. Can we have a spelling bee later?
Yeah.
I have a very specific skill set.
Cheyenne, also the capital of Scandinavia.
It is,
yes.
Which is borders
okay,
Hong
now,
Kong.
Okay, this is outrageous.
Oh, we got our last episode. We had a discussion about where the Netherlands were.
Oh no, it kept going on Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, Twitter and Facebook, yeah. And
no one knows.
Oh no,
did anyone from the Netherlands?
The interesting thing was, but people started arguing with each other.
Yeah,
it was like the Netherlands is Holland, and
Denmark.
It's the whole
region.
And then
it's
it was
not
like,
Denmark.
Well, and then it's like no, now it's just Northern and South Holland, and then. We got this. No, we're not saying anything accurate from now on regarding Scandinavia and Holland and Denmark and
the
Netherlands.
Well, the great thing was like.
So, because we're enjoying the fight on Twitter and Facebook.
It's awesome to watch. I want to just say random geographical things just to have a fight break out on Twitter.
And they're, but the fans are actually correcting each other now.
It's is Nova Scotia part of Canada or is it its own country?
So if you want to find out Denmark and Scandinavia is, go to our Twitter feed and you may or may not get the information you're looking for.
Sounds like not.
The great thing was Sanai, big fan Japan, and Vanessa from Austin were
hey Austin.
Keep it weird, Vanessa. They were having a discussion, and Sanai wrote, "Well, what do I know? Because I live in Hong Kong, Tokyo, the capital of Korea," which is like six episodes of riffing. She rolled into one joke.
Yeah, it was impressive.
Outstanding.
In 142 characters or less.
142 characters or less, folks.
Let's introduce our guest.
No, okay, don't do that.
We're not supposed to slip right in. Don't worry about it.
Folks,
I'm not even here.
She's not. You might recognize the sultry musings of one of our favorite writers and guests on the show, Miss Laura House.
Yay!
Hi, sultry musings.
And we have
my new website.
We have a new
.org.
We have a new intern today, too, with us.
Yes.
Seth.
How dare you?
Yeah.
What's his real name?
His real name is Sean.
Well, we'd like to welcome Steve.
But he is from Holland.
Steve is from Holland, which we all know is in Hong Kong.
Which is the capital of Denmark.
Kong is the capital of Denmark. If I've said it once, I've said it a thousand times.
Everybody knows.
If you're listening to the show for geography, you're in the right place.
Yeah. That was actually Green Hornet, a joke oddly that made me laugh out loud. He's like, I'm from Shanghai. And he goes, I love Japan.
Yeah.
Even just an right, they're not.
No,
that was China, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I got it. I got a little insecure there right at the end.
You're talking about the Chinatown part of Amsterdam, right?
Yeah, of Green Hornet. That made me laugh out loud. Instant Netflix.
That was the one laugh that you got out of Green Hornet.
I think I got a couple. I like when it slows down and you see the weapons in red.
Mm.
I'm simple.
Oh, so you'd like
but
the...
But I enjoyed some... I think the Kato-related things
Matrix-y,
I really
Do you like the
enjoyed.
Matrix-y things?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
weapons
like that.
In red.
It was Matrix, but with color, which I think is a great addition.
Mix.
I think it was really...
Brings it to a whole nother level.
I think really brought it into the now.
Well,
I wish you folks, you could have seen her go right back to her iPhone after she said
anyway,
that.
Anyway, got some Wikipedia to look at.
We are doing a very special show today. We're theming our first... This is our first themed show.
First themed show, which is sort of a
confluence. The theme is geography.
The theme is geography. All of the capitals of the 27 states of Brazil. Go.
So we will be talking about, Scandinavia, Nova Scotia, and all those other Asian countries. About where they are. And what their culture is, and what language is. Mandarin. Or
Vancouver,
whatever.
China.
Yes. Where... I lived in Norway for a year. Great kimchi.
Isn't Norway where they invented boba?
Yes. We're doing today.
This is smart people humor.
Yes.
You have to. This is when people talk about. People ever pull you aside and they go, comedians have to be smart. I'm like, well, that is just not true. I have a lot of evidence about that. But also. To act that dumb, you got to really know and then go backwards. Yes. Okay, guy, we fooled.
It's faux,
Or you could just not know.
Yeah, that's just...
Yeah, and embrace the not knowing. Yeah.
I mean, that's faux dumb, or fum, as we call it.
Faux dumb.
Yes.
Hashtag.
That's the capital of Japan.
Of Wikipedia.
That is Wikipedia's offices that are in South Korea. Yeah.
We are doing, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't guessed it already, we're doing romantic comedies today.
Yes. We're doing a couple upcoming themed episodes for several reasons. First of all, travel schedules and such, we're banking some episodes. And also, you guys have responded really well to the last month's worth of episodes.
You guys asked for it.
You guys have been asking for us to do more just recommendations of movies and talk about classic movies and stuff like that. So we're doing more.
And things to remove from your Netflix
and
queue.
And themes to get out of your Netflix queue because you've made an egregious error.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good service.
It is.
Because the weirdest stuff pops up. Yeah.
And it then saves you a lot of time.
Yeah, there's 20 minutes of your life you're not going to get back. Weird James Franco is a hooker in New Orleans movie I watched part of the other night. How dare you tell me James Franco, isn't it? Just to get me to watch it. I feel dirty.
You might also like, no, maybe I won't.
Maybe you don't know me at all, yeah. Instant Netflix.
I thought we had a really good relationship, and now you're wrong. You're assuming that I'm going to want to see James Franco hooking on the bayou.
I do want to see that, but not the way it was done in this boring film. I want to see that. Desperately. I want to see it desperately.
You
want to
see him
like
in real life, like his bottom.
So, Sean, what movie are we talking about?
Just a good movie about it.
James Franco bio hooker movie.
It was...
That's going to make IMDb search explode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
IMDb just comes back and goes, you don't.
Come on. We don't even recommend
that
movie.
Cut the bullshit.
Yeah.
Or I'll bet we're on Netflix, James Franco would come up fast too.
Netflix James Franco.
Whatever.
So we're going to pose a couple of questions this episode, and we're also going to talk about some best and worst romantic comedies and what we think of a few.
Well, let's do a couple of shout-outs.
Oh, yeah, let's do some shout-outs first.
I just want to thank everybody that came to all the shows in Cleveland and Toledo and Columbus. Those were with me and Doug Benson. They were good, crazy business. A lot of good nerderies. A lot of kitten hands.
Nerd eateries?
Nerderies.
Which is nerd arteries?
It's like a nerd arteries. A lot of you have great nerd arteries. As you know, I'm a phlebotomist. So,
Wow, good reference.
You like that?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, study of the blood.
People who take blood.
Anyway. We want to shout
very
out to...
Very popular right now to be a phlebotomist with all those movies.
Oh, well, yeah. It's a growth industry.
Chris, you had a shout-out.
Yes, we have a couple of shout-outs. You guys have been really active in the store, and a bunch of you have been buying Afghanistan, like we really appreciate. But also, we've been getting a lot of questions about the Woot Monkeys. Do we just get it a Doug Benson gift pack? No.
No.
You get any gift pack you buy in the store, you get a Woot Monkey.
Dean Haglund has a gift pack. Jackie Cation has a gift pack.
My gift pack.
Chris
Graham's
Mancini.
Gift pack.
Yes.
So,
any gift pack, you will get a free Woot Monkey, and many of you have been taking advantage of that.
You know what I'm going to do, too, right now? I'm going to say, if you buy a Comedy Film Nerds t-shirt and you put in the customer notes, please give me a Woot Monkey. We just might give you one if you buy a Comedy Film Nerds t-shirt as well. I'm going on record and saying that.
How about that? You got to ask for it in the email. The movie is
Sunny.
Sunny.
Nice.
Stanley, our intern, just did a fine job.
Sunny, because that's what they kept calling him.
Right. Is so, it?
That makes sense.
Who's
now
the second lead?
Was
of that
his
movie
real name or his hooker name?
It was both.
Oh,
so nobody.
Blevlin.
Oh, Harry, of course Harry Dean Stanton.
He plays
it.
A kind of had pimp? A rough life drunk guy.
Harry Dean Stanton does?
Really?
No.
I know.
That's so weird.
I know. No, he does. I mean, and that was interesting to what? Watch. Unique.
Somebody go, must have yelled, we got to get Harry Dean Stanton.
No, Harry Dean Stanton was just walking around
just walking
New Orleans.
By. I agree with that.
They just filmed him?
I agree with that, absolutely.
Yes. They went, hey, Harry, we'll give you a bottle of whiskey if you get on. All right. Is that a piano?
That's what he said.
Because he plays like in a band that periodically. Harry Dean Stanton plays at some jazz bar in Hollywood.
Oh.
Jeff Goldblum sits in with him.
Oh. All
I'm
right.
not making
Let's
it.
Go on Weird Night.
Yeah, okay.
You know, we do our theme get togethers.
Yes.
Let's go on Weird Night.
We're going to go on Weird Night.
Well, let's get started. This is a good question. When we're talking about romantic comedies, is romantic comedy the same as a chick flick?
Laura House, we
what
pose
you,
you this question.
No.
And why?
Next question.
Oh, boy. That gets harder. Next. C. I like to have a multiple choice. I put some thinking into it, and I would say no, because Sandra Bullock also does some dramas, which I would say
like Crash.
Are also chick flicks. Yes, like Crash. Everybody knows the classic chick flick. Generally, they are romantic comedies, but I feel like if Sandra Bullock, like, not Speed, but she was in
28
one
of Days Later. Or not 28, but 28 Days, the rehab movie.
The rehab movie. I'm thinking
Which
of
felt
the
like
one.
28 Days Later.
It felt like there was a zombie virus.
Yeah.
Also, when it's a chick flick and a reference to 28 Days, you don't think it's about rehab.
Right.
It's like you just go, I don't even really want to see that. Know how you get a whole movie out of that. But, no, she was in one where she was married to the guy. Here we go. Internet. She was married to the guy from Nip Tuck, and he had died, but maybe he hadn't died because she woke up and then he was there. But was she in some kind of alternate reality, or was she going crazy?
Oh, yeah, this was Demolition
dreaming?
Man.
I feel like
with Rob Schneider.
Yes, with Rob Schneider.
I feel like it
premonition.
Was
premonition.
Oh, premonition. Yeah, man.
So you're saying. So you're saying.
Like I would say that was kind of a chick flick, but a drama.
Even though, so a chick flick could be anything. It could be an action movie. It could be a cop movie. Like when she played that detective and the two kids. Like stage the
maybe
murder.
Maybe at this point it's just a Sandra Bullock movie.
Anything that's
Sandra,
Sandra Bullock movies are chick flicks.
I put a little Renee Zellweger in that category and little.
Of course, Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. There's a whole like Good Girl. Okay. Was it supposed to be funny? It was kind of
Good Girl was an
funny,
indie
but wasn't
drama
but,
with.
But that was a chick flick, I would say.
Good Girl. No, I thought Good Girl was more of a drama, maybe.
Yeah, and so this, I would say chick flick. I guess I would say chick flick is the distinction I would make is like female centric, appealing to females. Therefore, chick flick. So action like Speed, not a chick flick, more of an action because guys don't feel funny going to see it.
But now,
yeah, that's the distinction.
Now, is Sex in the City 2 a romantic comedy?
No, that's just
a terrible movie. I think there's got to be another category. Is it a romantic comedy?
Or is it a chick flick?
It's a chick flick.
Or is it both?
I think it's both. It's definitely both.
So they can be both.
Well, yeah, I think most of the time they're both.
Most of the time they're both, but they can be
I would
different.
Say like 98% of the time they're both, but then every now and then there's these other, like The Good Girl, or I already thought of all the examples I can.
I'm out.
I can't
out.
Be expected to.
I'm
if only there was some machine that listed films that I could look at. I'll never know.
Now, what about
do you
like?
Think, but what do you think? You just asked me. What do you
yes,
guys think?
I actually think there is a distinction between chick flicks and romantic comedies, and the reason I think that is because. I don't think Hollywood does. I think studios, it's like, oh, no, it's if it's a chick flick, it's a romantic comedy. And they don't make that distinction. And I think we should be making that distinction. And the indies do. Like, take a movie like 500 Days of Summer. Mm-hmm. I really felt that was a very good, well-done romantic comedy.
Not a chick flick.
But not a chick flick. And because I enjoy that just as much as you know, women.
It was centric to the guy. It was central to the man.
It was a guy
character.
Dating.
Right.
It was his dating experience.
So what's
but it wasn't
do we
like
a new
but it wasn't
term
like
for that.
No, I think
like this was listing, and I'm pointing to my phone, which had Wikipedia on it. Hitch was like a romantic comedy, but that's a male focus. Right.
See, that's what I'm saying.
So what's a male focused romantic comedy? Just a movie?
I don't think
we just call those
movies. That's what I'm saying. Like,
comedies.
I think that's why there is a distinction between chick flick and romantic comedies, because a romantic comedy can be female centric, it can be guy centric, where a chick flick, like The Notebook, is not a romantic comedy, but it's a chick flick.
Right. Well, it's not a comedy at all.
Right, exactly. It's not meant
but
to be.
But that's a chick flick.
But that's
yes.
a 100%.
Fried Green Tomatoes.
Right. Chick flick, Steel Magnolias, not romantic
anything
comedy.
Anything with a plant in it.
Anything that has plants.
Okay. Tomatoes. Magnolias. Okay.
Things you make in a garden.
Things that grow in your backyard. Yeah. Okay, no, got it. Things you put in a salad.
Boom. Oh, we're playing Password. I'm sorry, we're playing Password.
I'm sorry. We get it.
Conspiracies.
I drew a Venn diagram of romantic comedies in one circle, and then the other circle of lady dramas, and in the middle, they would all be chick flicks in the Venn. Okay.
In the center of the Venn diagram. Absolutely.
A podcast is not the medium for a good Venn diagram.
Graphics. If you guys look at the big board.
It's not that I didn't know that, but I'm just.
Check this pie chart that we have.
In your brain.
In the garage that none of you can see.
It's next to the gargoyle.
It's next to the gargoyle. Kitty corner from the Batman hologram.
Kitty corner. Oh, that's such a cute way to say it.
Meow, 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 meow.
Kittens.
All right. Well, then let's move it. Since we've made that distinction that a romantic comedy and a chick flick are somewhat different, they do have some overlap.
And then look at Bridesmaids.
Way overlap. I would say in almost every instance, same thing. But there are those distinctions, which thought of till today, like 50 First Dates.
Sure.
Adam Sandler, and he's been doing good with romantic comedies, but guy-centered. Just call it
right.
a comedy.
But the thing about, I think where you're correct in that they overlap is that...
In the marketing,
well, Hitch and 50 First Dates, the guy's going to want to see that, and the girl's going to... In terms of the date scenario, that how they market those movies, it is a date movie, which can be a chick flick and romantic comedy kind of. A good date movie is where there's a guy might go see Hitch because,
he loves Kevin James.
He's bumping into stuff wearing tight pants.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, he's wearing Bermuda shorts.
Oh,
he's going to
have tight pants on.
Talking to giraffes.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, he's
going to
try
next.
To be. He's taking a gorilla to Chili's.
Oh, good.
Oh, my God, that movie.
Oh, does the gorilla want his baby?
I want to know if somebody actually wrote in a script, gorilla, next line, shut up.
Yeah,
if that's on a script somewhere.
Well, you had to hit return and the tab. But yeah, do you know how scriptwriting works?
Not anymore.
But no, that is. And then you put three exclams.
Exclams.
That's my guess. Exclams.
Oh yeah.
Well, but the animals talk a lot of exclams.
And a lot of like bold, like, and then Kevin has this wacky face in the script, like you
they
know.
Just fill in Mad Libs a wacky face in there in the action.
It's a search
line.
And replace.
Then Kevin will blank with his blank. He knows what to do.
He knows.
When I say this writes itself, I mean literally. I just left a lot of scene to come.
Yeah. Kevin will bump into.
He will jump off of something and land somewhere funny.
Yeah.
Now getting
and
back.
Make a face.
Yeah. Oh, of course he's
going to
hit
the face. Is it the face?
He's going to make a face because he's going to hit something. It's not going
to. He's going to have to bullock it up.
He snuck up on me as a movie star. Have you had an experience with that? It's like suddenly he's like he was in a couple movies and now he's like in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Like, and when it's just him and some CG animals on the poster, I was like, he's a giant movie star. Like,
how?
How did we allow this?
It's like Wings was the number one rated show. And you're like, what? Wait a minute.
When you heard about it, I felt like there was a petition I should sign.
Yeah,
or there should be some action. We should be in the streets about this or something.
You're telling me JAG is the number one rated show. JAG.
You go, wait, Rules of Engagement is still on? Is there someone, a congressman we can speak with? Or is there someone? I just feel like democracy is not a spectator sport. Kevin James is this giant.
Senator, please. Senator, I implore you.
Hear me out.
I will not yield. I will not yield until Kevin James is not making movies.
Kevin James is a giant movie. I don't mind him in a movie. Like, I've really been into instant Netflix, and I watched Grown Ups. And he, you know, if you have five guys and he's one of them, great. Mm-hmm. But if you have one guy and he's one of them, oh, I don't understand.
How about one guy and a bunch of animals and no other people?
I guess it's for children.
Yes, it would have to be.
Well, it's sort of, I feel that way with Seth Rogen, like slacker buddy. But like when Green Hornet came out, I was like, stop talking, Seth.
I had the same.
Oh, same thing as Paul when he was the voice of the alien, but.
I got to wrap up on Seth Rogen. Yeah. I love him. Like, I have a weird love for him when I see him in films, but I had the same thing with Green Hornet, which I just watched. Again, thank you, Netflix. Is this sponsored by Netflix?
It should be right now.
But I watched it, and I was like, oh, I really enjoy it. And I was like, he does not make any sense. First of all, thin. Second of all, right. As the lead, like, I...
Superhero?
Yeah, I had the same thing of, like, I am not into him as the main guy at all. It's like, I don't want to see
great
George,
supporting.
George Costanza
40-year-old virgin.
Yeah.
Perfect role.
Yeah. Oh, he just had, like, a few lines in that, didn't he?
No, he's pretty big in supporting.
Right. Fair enough.
Yeah. But I want to talk more about what we were talking about.
We don't disagree on anything. I feel like this isn't lively enough. I feel like that's where you're wrong, Graham. Well, Kevin James is a great. My soul just hurts. He's a fantastic American movie star. I can't do it.
Paul Blart changed my life. How dare you? How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare
well, that's the thing. He's only doing movies now where his job is in the title.
Right.
It's Mall Cop. Wow, I want to see what he's doing. Oh, Zookeeper.
Kevin James, golf caddy.
Yeah.
Janitorial supervisor. Yeah. That's a great
Does
way
Does he get
to...
his own short pants?
Kiddie pool lifeguard.
It's kind of a fun way to write a movie. Just pick a job title.
My favorite was...
Medical biller. And then just...
Yeah.
Human resources.
Who could get in trouble
with my favorite one...
Oh, I'm going to go start there.
Was the one that contradicts itself. Like Larry the Cable Guy, health inspector. Well, if he's the cable guy, how is he?
Because if
how
they
is
said
he the
Dan
inspector?
Whitney, even his biggest fan would not. Would you be like, I didn't know it was you. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know. His biggest number one fan would be like, oh, that was. I'm so sorry, I missed it. I didn't know that you were the same guy.
Dan Whitney, health inspector. Yeah, even less people would have run to see it.
Dan Whitney, health inspector.
Would have run to see it. If any running was happening, it was out of the theater. What?
So anyway, I want to get back to
what
point you guys were actually talking about before is
rom-coms.
When sometimes a studio tries to split the difference, and one of the movies that came out I think a year or two ago was Four Christmases with
Vince Vaughn
mm-hmm.
And John Favreau
and Reese Witherspoon.
Oh,
yes,
and
like,
that's what I was
didn't like Robert Duvall played like the dad. Yeah, Robert Duvall was like one of their dads, and Reese Witherspoon's mom was like Anne Margaret or something.
There was a lot of people in it, and it was actually the director that did King of Kong, so Steve Wiebe actually was in it too.
Oh, neat! I didn't notice that. What a great nerd reference!
Yeah.
Wake up, nerds! This is for you.
He had like one line, like he was like part of Reese Witherspoon's family.
I didn't even realize.
But the interesting thing about this movie is there was obviously, okay, this part's for the girls, this part's for the guys. It was that kind of thing.
They literally cut the movie.
Like a comic just going, guys, take a break.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah. It's exactly what this movie was like. Okay, this scene's for the girls, this next scene's for the guys. Like when, Vince Vaughn and John Favreau were like backyard wrestling in the room. And, you know, he was pretty funny, John Favreau, in that movie. And he was the one kind of over-the-top character, and they're like, okay, well, that's for the guys, and then you've got the sweet kind of tender-hearted moments for the girls, and it wasn't a horrible movie. It just, for that reason, it was kind of uneven, but it wasn't bad. You could see the intention there. It was like, all right, we want to get girls to drag their guys into the movie theater, but we want the guys to enjoy the movie as well, or at least 50% of it.
I mean, the
Pretty
movie
thoughtful.
Starts...
That's a good host.
The movie starts out with them... It is a good host.
We want everybody... We want the vegans to have something they can eat.
Yes.
There's bacon-wrapped...
The gluten-free. We want the...
Can't please everyone. Just try to please them for
a
limited
hot dogs,
amount of time.
There's...
Just want a little bit of everything. Everybody's all right.
There's non-alcoholic beer.
Right?
There's a keg.
It was a movie buffet, really.
Yeah, it was.
You just take what you want.
So no one's really satisfied.
Yeah. Yeah, no one's really satisfied. No one's really angry.
There you go.
So let's ask
just
this question.
Just a forgettable night out.
Yes, exactly. So let's...
Hey, that wasn't bad.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. There's no second date. It's not the worst date I've ever been on.
Right, right. This is just a good old bland evening.
Yes.
I just had a bowl of cream of wheat.
I'm not... I'm not mad. No, that's good.
Not mad.
This was spectacularly neutral.
Yeah. It was fantastically moderate.
Yes.
Incredibly.
I've never felt more blasé at the
end
of an evening.
More blasé.
Less upset and more.
Yeah. That's the marketing strategy.
They're like, this is our window. Okay.
Okay. So let's ask this question. We have it on the list here.
Yes.
Best and worst romantic comedy.
Is Harry Met Sally still the best romantic comedy ever made?
Your thoughts, Laura House. You're on the clock.
I'm just so concerned we're just going to agree again. And I really think this should... I think yes. I think
what
it is.
What the fuck is your problem?
God, I'm out of... Yeah. Oh, how dare you? This is our picture. Again,
Notre
not a
Dame
visual,
mascot.
We're just fists to each other. Ooh, talking movies.
Yeah.
I think it is. I can't think of it. Although I know people who, and this was a surprise to me, but when industry people actually was the first I heard of it, so I was like, ugh, Nora Ephron. And I was like, I had no idea anyone felt that way, like in the world.
She's beloved.
I'm a little naive, but yeah, just, oh God, so formula, always the same, always this. I'm like, but it's such a good formula. It's so good. Yeah. And like, you know, Rob Reiner, it was his magic that did that, or whatever. I was like, I think it was great. What do you like? Do you like it?
Well, again,
do guys like Harry Met Sally?
When Harry Met Sally.
What if it were Harry Potter Met Sally? Huh, nerds?
Then I would hate it.
That's fun. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's one thing we'll argue about.
I love that.
Graham doesn't like wizards.
I don't trust them.
Don't let them know that. Yes. I can't believe you announced that in a broadcast that goes around the world.
There's a wizard that's going to hear.
Because you know, some of them are mean.
Yeah,
I don't know if you got the gist of any of the films, even having not watched them. A lot of them nice,
and the good
couple
ones
are really mean.
Yeah, the good ones may just fail to protect you now.
Well, yeah, here's
they're just busy. The Weasleys are just busy that day.
The Weasleys.
Graham Elwood's in trouble. Huh, well, we have some washing to do.
Well, sorry, Graham. You said you didn't like us.
Yes. And we don't exist. Fine.
You don't think we exist? Well, maybe your samurai sword will help.
Yeah.
Which it will.
Yeah.
Here's why Harry Met Sally is good. It talks about the thing that Chris just talked about with Four Christmases, that Four Christmases missed. Billy Crystal, in his prime, he carried the guy likability so well in that, because he talked the way a guy did. He was like,
good point.
You know, he was like, hey, I mean, that scene in the car, he's like, man, you want to do them all. You want to have sex with everybody. Like, you want to have sex with everybody, you know, and all the scenes and Bruno Kirby.
Yeah. And those scenes with them and playing baseball.
And the batting and cage. It's just like,
they feel real.
And your friend ends up with the other person. If either of us had found either of them even remotely attractive,
right,
we would not be together today.
It's like,
I agree.
They're at the football game. You know, and they're doing the wave. Like, this is a great scene. They're doing the wave.
Having the conversation.
Yeah, and he's like, well, some people say that infidelity is a symptom of a bad marriage. Well, that symptom is fucking my wife. Like, that kind of shit.
Ira.
Is hilarious.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Ira. Give Ira. It to me. Ira.
Yeah, that's true. And the girl side, too, was fun with Carrie Fisher as the,
hilarious.
You're right, I know you're right. He's never going to leave her.
Always
I know,
dating married
like,
guys.
Always, like, just a hot mess. Not that hot.
Right, but always the chaos.
And you always have that friend. There's always a friend who, like, always have the normal friend, and you always have the crazy,
chaos
slutty
friend.
Yes, absolutely.
The slutty chaos friend is just like, why can't we ever... Because you blew him in a bar when you didn't even know his last name. That's why he's not going to commit to you.
Right. But he seemed to have a good time.
There's always
going to
be another bar.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
He had a good time.
He loved it.
He really had a good time
that
night.
He would love to do that again.
He was not lying to you at all. The good that you just said, oh, you're right. I guess so. Yeah.
Right. I mean,
have you watched it lately? Does it seem long? I feel like when I look back, I go, gosh,
it took place
over 50 years.
96 minutes.
And here's
it's
sorry,
a lean,
not too
lean
long.
No.
Any reasons why?
It just got better.
It did.
It was number one, still moved up the list just now.
Has two stars in the one spot.
Very taut for romantic comedy.
No, because here's the thing. What Harry Met Sally did, that sort of format hadn't really been established.
Oh, maybe that's the... Was it? What?
I mean, like, how many...
Nora Ephron's formula?
I mean, like, exactly.
Maybe.
But now...
Does that mean putting... Fusing in the guy's point of view? Or I wonder fusing what...
Well, fusing... But all of the beats. Like, now a romantic comedy literally takes that outline and they just... Boom, boom.
Search and replace.
They just really search and replace. Like, there's nothing new to it. Where at the time, I mean, honestly, let's go back now, especially for our audience, and talk about romantic comedies up till that point. How many of them were like that?
Well, I'm thinking of all those Marilyn Monroe movies or the Bogart. I guess there weren't so many of the Bogart. But I'm looking like Holiday, Shop Around the Corner.
Right.
She... updated that.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll imprint this with my magic formula. Adam's Rib, Roman Holiday.
Yep.
But that...
Was that just more of... That was sort of... I guess before it was sort of girl... A lot of those were girl gets rescued by guy.
Right.
Wasn't it? Like... A lot of the old-timey romantic comedies were...
It was she needed to get married.
Right. Like, yeah. She's an old...
She's going to be an old maid.
At 30.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so it was just...
what are we going to do
and
about
then,
sister?
Interesting, a couple years later, then all of a sudden, the like the femme fatales and the very strong, opinionated, powerful women started emerging in cinema, which was like, you know, His Girl Friday and Sabrina even to an extent, really. So it's interesting to see the evolution in the old films as well. And I think that kind of... gave birth to the modern, like, well, let's see this from, even like in a drama, like All About Eve. I mean, she was, you know, manipulative. That's, that was a femme fatale. I think that kind of gave birth to the strong woman, the strong point of view to carry a movie, because there were, most movies were guy-focused, guy-centric, guy point of view.
And
except
Harry,
for Wizard of Oz.
And Harry Met Sally, again, like, while Meg Ryan is...
Little
is,
person focused.
Yes.
What? I'm
while
sorry,
Meg Ryan is so, like, cute and adorable, she's very sort of, you know, she doesn't have to be a ball buster to be sort of firm and independent in that
right.
movie. She very much stands her ground.
Right.
You know, like, she calls Billy Crystal on his bullshit.
Right.
And not in a, like, mean, bitchy way.
And she wasn't... I guess that's why you put the Carrie Fisher character in there, so you can really see the contrast. She wasn't... She really wanted to be with that guy she had been with, but she didn't want to just be with anybody.
Right.
Like, that...
She wasn't
going to
just be with
him.
Yeah, she didn't be like, oh, I need a man, I need a man.
Right.
She was like, I tried to make it work with this one guy, and it didn't work out, and she was okay being independent, and she had her own job, and that was the difference. I mean, those movies back in the 40s and 50s, it was... You know, that was just
Roman society. Holiday, desk set, Sabrina.
Yeah, I mean, those movies were very, like we were talking about, the women, you know, needed a guy or needed to be rescued or whatever, and I think that was sort of the difference why
it's but then when you get into the 60s, too, you got Breakfast at Tiffany's, where you have almost a, I guess you could use the word ingenue, or and, you know, party girl type mentality.
Yeah, the New York, then the 60s, the sort of New York... model party girl thing started a lot, and you know, Breakfast at Tiffany's also had really phenomenal racism in Mickey Rooney's Chinaman character.
Finally, Asians got their comeuppance in comedy, in romantic comedy. Like, and also that scene, it's like, let's just take a break from the movie right now.
And just put in
and
this
just put in
more
this
like
crazy rant.
It was literally like, oh, we probably can't do blackface. Well, let's do a bucktooth ching chongy guy.
Let's do something worse.
Oh, it was like I'll
tape
never,
his eyes.
So. Yeah, tape his eyes. I'll never forget that scene in the movie Dragon about the Bruce Lee story where he's watching Breakfast at Tiffany's on a date with a girl, and
oh,
the whole movie
wow.
theater's laughing at Mickey, and he's just staring at it, going. And it's like, oh, yeah, that might be offensive to a billion people.
To most of the planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like 14 people over here laughing. The whole planet is like, what?
What's wrong with you people?
Seems rude.
Just because you have all the money.
Yeah.
Had.
Yeah.
Had. Yeah. Not anymore.
Nope. Now it's time for our comeuppance. You should see Chinese television right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It's Mickey Rooney.
They're all doing Mickey Rooney impressions. Old bewildered gentlemen.
To the moon.
And Colonel Potter glasses.
Oh, pow.
Hogan.
Colonel Potter.
Hogan. So, like, the other thing, too, I want to talk about, like, in the 80s, you know, like, the sort of, I guess, I don't know what you'd call it, non-traditional romantic comedies or anti-hero romantic comedies where, like, Risky Business was definitely a male fantasy.
Yes.
A teenage boy getting to be with a hot prostitute. But it wasn't, but you know what I mean? Like, she, you know, they stole all of his money. He had to run a brothel out of his parents' house. Like, it wasn't that, like,
for college money.
For college money. Like,
we would call that a romantic comedy. Risky business. That's interesting because I wouldn't know how to classify it otherwise necessarily.
Right. Yeah,
like, it wasn't really.
If there's a hooker,
action,
it's a romantic comedy.
Really? Or was it just a
it's
comedy?
A love story.
Pretty Woman, same
was
thing.
It a love story? I mean, they didn't end. I mean,
no, I wouldn't call it a romantic comedy.
They end up together. And the end of Risky
but
Business.
But there was, I guess, there was no sense of like, oh, they're meant to be together,
no,
which is sort of inherent
no,
in a
there was no meet cute.
Romantic comedy. Yeah, exactly.
But the end of
romantic
Risky...
Romantic comedy films are films with lighthearted, humorous plot lines centered on romantic ideals, as that true love is able to surmount most obstacles, says
like
Wikipedia.
Like prostitution.
Yes.
You
even,
can...
That's an obstacle.
Yes.
Yeah, Pretty Woman handled that well.
Yes.
Yes, it did.
I'm a really rich guy. Could this hooker love me? Tale as old as time. That's everyone had been wondering. And Gary Marshall rose to the occasion and said, you know what? I have a thesis.
Yes. I have a thesis.
Julia, get on the set. Mm-hmm.
The song's already written.
That movie makes no sense to me.
Still, watch it again.
I'm a
it's
lady.
Encouraging young women to be prostitutes because you
well,
meet a rich guy.
And what was that weird, like, she hadn't really started, like, there was a weird technicality, like it was her first day at work or some weird
She'd
thing
been
that
kind of
made
doing
it not so skeezy. But what's weird to me is, as a lady, all these things are, and we talked about this last time, like, all these things are marketed to me, and it's just so, like, offensive at a point where you're just like... I'm a woman. I enjoy a nice, sweet storyline, but I'm not an idiot. I'm not a, you know, like I've left the house in the past couple days at least. You know, I'm not a shut-in. I'm not, you know, like I
put have, down your apron, Laura,
I
and get some entertainment.
Discernment. I have. Pretty Woman wasn't the worst, but
let's share
when
recipes.
When there's one of those movies, oh, everybody loves that movie, and you're just like,
what do you?
I don't,
what movies
I don't
have
like
you
that.
Been the most offended at in the way that they've marketed them to you as a woman?
Ugly Truth is on this list that you we were sort of looking at.
Katherine Heigl, God.
Katherine Heigl, I would rather see 10 Kevin James films than one Katherine Heigl. Boom! Take that, KH.
Heigl.
She's rolling around in money. Like, I'm sorry, did somebody say something?
Yeah.
I'm sure she's listened to a lot
of podcasts. Hear, I can't
just,
hear you. I have money in my
she's
ear.
She's just in a fountain of money.
I've got to get these diamonds out of my teeth.
Is someone talking? That was one of those that was like such a bad, obvious for, you know, she's interested in the news and he's a dumb sports guy, but really hot. And he's going to show her how to be a lady and then he's going to fall for, like, gross. Although, Gerard Butler, hello. I'm not a fan of Gerard Butler.
Here's what I'll say about that. Why that movie offended me as a comedian is Gerard. Who's made? How did you go from 300
to?
He's America's favorite comedy guy.
Yes.
What? He's not funny.
So weird.
Where he's not a comic. Put a sword in his hand with ripped abs and let him, you know, cut off the heads of some evil people. Like, why? Who?
He's great in those dramas. I watched funny. Gamer also, Netflix, thank you.
That was a weird movie.
It was a weird movie.
It was weird, and I could have done without Dexter.
Yes.
But frankly, it was like, I get it, you're intense.
Yeah. That was that kind of movie that like, this kind of great concept, not the best execution.
Not great execution.
It was one of those movies
where
it was fun to watch, and it was cool and stylized. It was just a bad movie. It was a really cool, stylized bad movie.
Another lady I would put in this category, and you know, I don't want to just hate on ladies, but Kate Hudson I don't get as a funny person.
Well, I don't think America
either.
Really gets her.
This is why, okay, last time I was on the show, you had me do a rant at the end, and I was talking about how there's no good lady movies.
Yes.
Then we got Bridesmaids.
Yes.
So I'm a wizard. it was less a rant and more a wish.
Right.
Yes.
Because it was like, that's a movie where, like, I would be the first person to not like that movie. Like, I would easily go, oh, let's, you know, because these are practically, at this point in my life, practically my peers.
Right.
You know, like, they're just a little ahead of me at the Groundlings, but we have a lot of mutual friends, me and everybody in the movie,
right.
And a couple of them I know. So it was just like, if there's anything for me to be upset and jealous about, it's in Bridesmaids. And I was just like, wow, that's good. Like the bit with the, like, these are funny women being funny. And it felt like I had been dehydrated and didn't know, and someone gave me water. Like, it was that refreshing. It was just like,
but was it a romantic comedy?
Yeah, it was definitely a romantic comedy. It was classic romantic comedy because she really belonged with that cop.
Mm-hmm.
She thought she belonged with Mad Men.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, he was so great.
He was John Hamm, so funny.
Such an asshole. And
hey,
so,
fuck buddy.
Yeah. Just like pushes her head down, just suck it or whatever. It's like unbelievable.
I'm sorry. I really want you to go right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Is that if weird? You could just, I mean, I could sit here, but then we. Oh yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Sure.
Well, the thing I think that's what you're really talking nice about song. Is Bridesmaid was written by women. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, that may be a good distinction.
Yeah, because I think that's
also the women who are these women performers, like so specific right. to that voice. Because even some stuff written by women, you know, that's not always good.
That's not
or
always good.
Maybe it gets changed by
well, that's what I'm
men
saying.
In the
like,
process,
like
right?
the movies that I think you
who
and
can we hate?
And other women find offensive. I think they go through the Hollywood filter.
I guess it is like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days,
yeah,
or The Ugly Truth, where there's just this like. Yeah, it just seems like women will like this. They're dumb.
Yeah, like they like
put
shopping.
Kate Hudson in it. Put and it's like Reese Witherspoon is actually funny.
Right,
I can appreciate her, mm-hmm. and I actually really
do you remember her in Election?
God, yes. She's great in Election.
Hilarious.
I like not love, but I very much like Jennifer Aniston.
Mm-hmm.
But like finally, Bridesmaids was like, oh, these are. Mostly funny. You know, these are 90% funny, 10% acty. You know what I mean? It's not an actress that they're just like, just say these funny words. Just say them. It's like...
Yeah, and make a face.
Actually...
And the thing I liked face. About it, too, was Bridesmaids, which is... And why I liked, you know, the first Hangover was... None of those women were huge stars. It wasn't like,
oh.
you know what I mean? Like the thing
oh,
that,
yeah.
that I, my complaint.
They were just talented.
They're just
they were just
funny.
The right people
they cast,
and funny for the role. Absolutely.
And like you kind of knew some of them, but you didn't mm-hmm. know all their names. And that was the thing like
when you go to a Jennifer Aniston movie, you get Jennifer Aniston.
Right.
And that's the movie you're going to see when you see
but
Adam
Gettin.
That's
part of
the
complaints that you're having. Like mm-hmm.
yeah.
they didn't say, oh, Katherine Heigl needs to be in Bridesmaids.
Oh,
and Kate
gosh.
Hudson needs to be one of the Bridesmaids.
Right.
And
right.
that other girl that's
right.
in all the other ones.
If that were not Judd Apatow,
right?
If that because apparently
so were Gary Marshall.
What I heard that was right, exactly. But like, yeah, exactly. If it were Gary Marshall, and I love a lot of Gary Marshall stuff, but you know, then you go, oh, we need Ashton Kutcher, and we need you know right. all these people that you just. It's not as interesting, but it was so yeah, it was so personal and funny, which is also the age we're in now, obviously, with like Funny or Die. People can put on their own, mm-hmm. you know, everybody's making their own webisodes. Everybody's very specific. Dr. Ken was in Ken Leon was in so many funny little videos, you know, and then gets in The Hangover, giant community, right. giant, so everybody sees it. But yeah, it is so nice to just see this like. I guess that is what it is. It didn't go through the Hollywood machine. Apparently, Judd Apatow approached
Kristen Wiig
right, and was
said,
like, I think you're great. Mm-hmm. Write something. She went to her buddy. They came up with something. And then they worked with it. And they made it a very, you know, like Melissa McCarthy obviously put her imprint all over it.
And it was a team effort. You know that wasn't like a first draft that they shot.
No,
you know
that was a lot of
work that they all did together.
A lot of working on it, yeah.
And just like... And like again, Melissa McCarthy, like they gave her and a couple of the other ladies enough latitude. They like they trusted them. Said riff, we know you can do this. Like
yeah,
riff this
the way
scene.
They do, the way they've been doing with guys.
Yes,
you know, like Danny McBride and Will Ferrell. The way they've just
Vince
you know,
Vaughn.
which goes so far the wrong direction sometimes.
Right, they let them riff
too much. I'm thinking
of
that race car movie. What
oh,
was
yeah,
the race
yeah.
car? Like, so many of those movies are funny, but the race car movie, I was like, okay, is this just the edited pieces of, like, is this just the bloopers?
But
like,
again, that's the
no,
thing. Like, that's why they
all.
Had the perfect balance in Bridesmaids was, unlike Talladega Nights is the movie you're talking about.
Talladega Nights. Talladega Nights.
Because they didn't stack the movie with these huge stars, you know, like Will Ferrell is funny, but when they just, it's kind of like Robin Williams, and they just, oh, let's just let Robin Williams run free. No,
we'll never get tired of this.
Oh yeah, or Jim Carrey when they put Jim Carrey in a movie is,
or
like,
when
all
you
right,
just eat
Jim
sugar.
Jim does something funny.
What? Sugar's great. I'm going to just eat the... I'm sick.
Yeah, exactly. And they... So, like, you could tell, like, they had a really solid
Jim
script.
Carrey.
They cast it well. They let the women riff
actually,
as needed, like,
mm-hmm.
in the right
Jim
amount.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did, that was... Jim Carrey actually did an interview when Jed he did
really
one of these movies.
Yeah.
What was it? He said, what was the...
Liar, Liar?
No, it was after that. It was one of his more recent movies he did. That's it. Fun with Dick and Jane. He actually did an interview and said it was the emptiest script he had ever read. He said there was actually sections in it that said Jim does something funny.
Here. You can make money off that?
Yeah, apparently.
That's
you can get a lot of money for us. And at first you think he's kidding, and you look at him like, he's not kidding.
He's not kidding. He's not kidding.
That's outrageous.
But it's interesting in the early 2000s. Early 2000, we had a bunch of horrible romantic comedies come out. You had, like, What Woman Wants, Sweet Home Alabama, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. But then Love Actually came out in 2003, and I thought that was a great romantic comedy. And you're watching this movie like, well, yeah, the Brits kind of got the formula a little right because they changed it a little bit.
Yeah.
They mixed it up. They made it a little bigger.
Is that around the time of About a Boy? Because that was really good.
Yeah. Yes, it was close to there.
I think
About a Boy
Love
was really
Actually.
Good,
what
too.
What was that about again?
It was
an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
And it was somebody who worked, a girl worked, I believe, for the Prime Minister.
Worked for the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
And
Hugh Grant, Laura Linney.
Yeah, there was a bunch of storylines in it. And it was a really well-done movie. And again, I think Chris is right in the sense that, like, because it came out of England, they didn't feel like, oh, we got to do romantic comedies, have to follow these beats.
Right.
Like Bridesmaid didn't do this.
Or big,
right.
Insane. But that's like Bridesmaids, again, Judd Apatow. Like, I read, I've been trying to write movies. So, and by trying, I mean, I'm doing it.
Good for you.
Yoda had something to say about that. And so I read the Oscar-nominated scripts last year. I mean, if you're going to write them, read them. So, and then I read other ones. And I went and read, of the past couple years, I read Knocked Up. It's a weird script to read because you're practically reading Judd Apatow's journal. Like, it is not, because he knew he was going to direct it. And so he can write in a way where he knows... how
there's
it's going to be when
right.
it comes out of Paul Rudd, and he knows how it's going to be with this. Like,
because he's worked with all those people before.
Yeah, and but screenwriting-wise, it's such a weird thing to read because it's not this... It doesn't say, like, they'll do something funny or something offensive like that, but it just seems meandering or long or whatever. But he knows, and he knows how to make it work. And probably what he does, too, is like, well, I'll put this in there. If we need to take it out later, we will.
Right.
Or tighten it up, or maybe this will get cut in half. And same with Bridesmaids, like, he knows how to make that work, where I feel like, remember when we were starting in comedy, and 40 years ago, and there were, like, people would do alternative comedy, like, people would see Janine Garofalo and be like, oh, you just talk about what you did yesterday. And then people would go on stage. And they would just be like, so is it this garage sale? Was everything like 15 cents? And then I was like, I'll give you a dime. And you were just like, what? Like, they had no sense of craft or structure. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like some people are looking at, like, oh, this is what Judd Apatow can do. I'll just make some weird meandering movie or set the camera on people or, you know.
Yeah, it's exactly what that is like, I remember when the alternative comedy scene happened in L.A., it was a bunch of people... Patton or whatever, who'd all been on the road and wanted an alternative to comedy clubs and strip malls with bachelorette parties and guys in Dockers.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know what penis mean? Hats.
Yeah, and, penis hats and married couples. Like, what's he talking about?
Right.
So, like, but you had to, Janine and all the...
You can't start there.
You can't start there. You can't. And so everyone, that's when the whole, like, look to my notes thing would happen. It's like, no, this is a professional who's working on new stuff.
Right.
You, rookie comedian, need to get your shit together and write some jokes.
Take a moment in the car and memorize.
And get the fuck on the road, because you can't be too snarky for school if you've never been out there. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. And that's again...
You got to earn it. People got to yell at you.
You have to fight with a crowd and beat them. and make them suffer.
Before you can read from a notebook.
Before you can read from a notebook about your garage sale.
Yeah.
No, but that's the thing. Like, I think that's what we're kind of with the whole theme of this show that we've been talking about is when Hollywood or anybody, just a filmmaker, feels as though they can just kind of go into this formula. It's like, well, Nora,
put a big star,
yeah,
and they really belong to get the.
It's like, how do you know? When I saw that, I felt like this came out of a romantic comedy piece of software.
I didn't see it, but I felt that way about Ugly Truth. I was like, oh God, oh, because they're opposites, so they should be in love. You know what? I tend to have good relationships with people who I have a lot in common with. I don't know. Is that crazy?
I don't get along with people that have I argue with all the time.
I'm almost never. I mean, okay, James Carville. I guess it worked for him and his wife. But it's like otherwise, I pretty much. I like agreement. Yeah. Peaceful home. Yes.
You like watching the same things.
I like a guy who lets me know he likes me. I'm like weird like that.
I know people are like, wow, you guys argue a lot. Boy, there's sparks there. No, I don't like her. Yeah. She's annoying.
Someone I shouldn't hang out with, much less make love with.
She's bad. Bad to have in my life. This is a toxic relationship.
Not a good.
Yeah. I'm not going to be in this relationship 4 years from now.
That's what I wrote on a sitcom where when I got hired, it was Samantha Who, but when I got hired, the guy said, he goes, you know what? Honestly, me and my best friends, we're all pretty similar.
Yeah.
But like in a sitcom, you have the good friend and the bad, slutty friend and the totally straight-laced friend who's like, oh, you know, generally I find friends, we're all pretty similar. Yeah. That's why we get along. But you know, you got to tell some stories.
Yeah. Sure. Well, let's go around and do our favorite romantic comedies.
All right.
Laura, you'd go first.
Princess Bride.
Oh.
I took the good one. I took the good one.
Damn it.
It was not on this list, but I was looking through this other, Wikipedia, it mentioned Groundhog Day as a romantic comedy, which you don't think about, but it was like him and Andy McDowell. It was about him becoming a better, it was that male-centered one that was interesting. Mm-hmm. But Princess Bride is
but he had to improve himself. With Groundhog Day, he had to become a better person in order to earn her, because they made her sort of angelic and somewhat perfect.
And he had to figure it out without being told. So well done every level.
I'm sorry, but Princess Bride, tell us why you think that's the best one, because I love that movie.
What? I don't even know if I can. It was one of those movies that I feel like it just impacts in such a glorious way. I don't even know how to describe it. First of all, funny. And it was never not funny, always changing funny.
Well, it was a fairy tale, literally.
And a funny fairy tale.
It was a fairy tale. They're not always funny.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
But it, you know, somehow they pulled off the, like, you know, the, oh, save me, I'm a princess, but, you know, was still funny. What did I like about it? What do we like about Princess Bride? I love everything about it.
It was the mix, because it made you kind of feel like a child with Peter Falk reading the story, you know, like you were watching a childhood fantasy kind of thing.
Real romantic. He really loved her from when they were children. Like, it had every kind of...
I cried many times
watching it.
He chased her his whole life. Yeah.
And it was funny.
Oh, you guys. And the song at the end, I won't sing it.
And then
so
all
sweet.
Of the characters.
Yeah, they were really funny, well-loved, and interesting. Even, you know, Christopher Guest looking menacing.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Yeah, that's a funny... when you see everything else he's done, that guy was just up for anything.
Even Billy Crystal funny in it. I mean, Andre the Giant's in this
movie. Andre the Giant's in it.
And Mandy Patinkin.
Mandy Patinkin is phenomenal. Yeah.
He's incredible.
Yeah. And it was just all the way around. It was a good movie put together.
Chris, what's yours?
I actually really enjoyed... there's a couple. Annie Hall, I think, is a really... Woody Allen's finest.
Incredible.
Just really good.
One of anyone's finest.
Yes.
Yeah. I would say.
And I did really enjoy Love, Actually. And I really enjoyed 500 Days of Summer. I think as far as in like an indie romantic comedy, 500 Days of Summer was... people are calling it an anti-romantic comedy. It isn't. It's just it's a good romantic comedy told from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those, like, 500 Days of Summer, I really was like, it was an inventive way to tell the story. And I like...
There was a great sequence with a little film school reference there with hilarious.
And you know, he kind of has to deal with the fact that he was chasing the wrong... Like, I loved the scene at the end where he's like, oh, I can't believe. And then it's like, and he steps back and goes, oh, maybe we weren't right for each other.
Yeah. I mean, that's what life is. That's what love is. Yeah. I mean, it was a really, but it wasn't done in like a cynical way. Mm-mm. It was done in like a heartfelt, fun, romantic comedy
which
way.
Which is also very real. Like, yes. I guess one could argue, you know, usually a romantic comedy, it's about when you find the one. This was about the one before the one.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
everybody had.
Sure.
Right?
The one that you really thought, you so thought this was the one.
Unless
you
were really lucky or really dumb.
But I've heard weird things about that movie where people were like, you know, when they cast a guy acting like her, he just seems like a jerk. But she was somehow, and I'm like, first of all, they do that all the time.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, this guy was like, you know, outraged at it, like, you know, guys, we're not supposed to act like that, we don't care, we just want sex. It's like, well, but you do, and in almost every movie. Yeah. Like, that's why it was interesting and refreshing.
Yes.
And she was honest about it, which was also interesting. Right. And refreshing. She wasn't like, I love you, oh god, not really. She was trying to figure it out too. I thought very well
yeah.
done, very
yeah.
honest. Mm-hmm. And modern.
She was great. Like, I've met a lot of girls like that who sure. are just like, I don't want to commit. Well, for whatever reason, I'm afraid I got
really
hurt before.
Really, here in L.A.?
Right.
I know, it's weird.
It's weird.
But now they're coming out with just that.
While you were hosting the game show?
But now
strip
people
poker
are doing,
contestants.
But so many people are doing now, like, just that one aspect of that movie, like Friends with Benefits.
Right.
Which I think would be grating for 90 minutes. Do you of know what I mean? Like, there was the Natalie Portman
yes.
version, and now it's literally just called Friends with Benefits, and that was also the name of a sitcom pilot,
yeah.
which may or may not have been picked up. It's just like...
It's not interesting.
It's like, I don't... That's not interesting to me, but the whole thing of,
very,
I think she's the one, I don't know if she's the one, that,
yeah,
you know.
It's a little more layered.
My, yeah, and they're just trying to figure it out.
My favorite romantic comedy is Psycho. because there's such a love there.
He loved her.
He wants to dress up like his mom.
He just wasn't good at dating.
He had some mom issues he had to work sort through.
Well, he went in to ask her for a date. She's in the shower, I assumed.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you
The
read
commitment
into
was
it.
There.
No, the commitment was there, absolutely. And he owned his own business.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a good earner.
A good dude.
He just, I guess he's just shy, so
he liked birds.
Killed her, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Psycho.
Actually, one of my favorite ones, I mean, all the ones you guys have mentioned I really like. I do like, Notting Hill is on this list, and I actually am a sucker for that movie.
Julie Roberts?
Julie Roberts, mm-hmm. Hugh Grant, because she plays a mega famous person, and he just plays this average Joe who owns a bookstore, and there's a lot of, like, some of the smaller characters in the movies I really like. They just really handle those, like, quirky English people quite well. But honestly, one of my favorite ones is High Fidelity with John Cusack.
Oh, gosh, that's a good one.
And one of the reasons I love it, well, first of all, it's got all these great, that top five game that they play, like, mm-hmm. We play that a lot. I really like that. But one of my favorite things about it is it starts out with how he's been wronged and all these chicks fucking blew him. And then as the movie goes on, it goes, no, you fucked it up.
Right.
Like, his character was an idiot and blew a lot of the stuff.
He kind of knew he was a dick.
And the one girl he idolized... which was played brilliantly by...
Is that Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Catherine Zeta-Jones. She's just kind of a...
Charlie.
She's a vapid, shallow...
Yeah, she was such a jerk.
She's horrible. So the one...
Are you in or out?
Yeah.
You in or you out?
Yeah. Oh. God, and all of her...
I did not enjoy that part at all, but I see your point.
Yeah, and all plot-wise. Of her friends were like these kind of people you wouldn't want to hang out
awful,
with.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. Like, that to me, and when he really comes to the realization that this girl he's been with forever, that he's been like hemming and hawing about, oh no, she's really cool, and she's been through a lot with you and put up with a lot of your nonsense, mm-hmm. and you've just been running around making excuses. I really liked it. And it takes place in Chicago.
It's Groundhog Day without the magic.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Didn't like that movie.
He had to go through the...
You didn't like High Fidelity?
No, I didn't like High Fidelity.
Oh, so you hate music.
Yes,
whatever.
I hate music.
Oh, you
hate
cool things.
I hate records. That's the problem.
Physical album.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
fair
if it was
you
a
know
CD
what? He
store,
has a point.
Yeah, I would have liked it
If it all
more.
Took place on iTunes, he would have really enjoyed...
You know what that movie...
All downloads.
Yeah.
It was all really...
Yeah, that far more interesting and a little more believable.
He doesn't have albums all over his apartment.
Yeah.
He just has a little flash drive.
Yeah.
He's just always holding it going, oh, man, all my favorite music.
You can fit more.
It's a flash drive.
It's good.
Just called flash drive.
I didn't like the main characters in that movie.
Oh,
But I love the supporting ones. I actually like Jack Black and the other, like, mm-hmm. the squirrely guy that
Tim
worked
Robbins
in the store.
Is great.
Tim Robbins,
the hippie guy.
Yeah, but that was kind of the movie that I watched. I'm like, well, you know, it's not a bad movie. It just didn't resonate with me.
Maybe it was a little too cool.
You probably, what? Yeah. It's a little too much. I just
if you're, if you're, I like slip things, a wizard in there.
Yes, I like
maybe
things,
if a zombie came out from somewhere.
I like things a little more awkward.
Yeah. If the record store was a time portal, would you enjoy it?
Maybe some more music about dinosaurs.
If the whole thing took place in space, if it all took place on a spaceship,
a record store in a hip part of the space station.
Yeah, then I would be on board.
Yeah,
42.
All right. Well, that's our episode, you guys. And by all means, you know, put on the message boards your guys' favorite romantic comedies and why. We'd love to hear from you. Because there's a million movies we didn't even cover.
Sure.
Classic, newer ones, whatever. Mm-hmm. So check that out. So thank you so much to our guest, Laura House.
Now, where can people find you on the internet? So what do you got coming up?
Let's say laurahouse.com.
Okay.
And right
would that be accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
If you're in LA, I'll put it on my website, I guess. I've never done that. I'm doing a reading of a couple of scripts I wrote at the end of the month, July 27th at the Acme Comedy Theater.
Oh, great.
The last time we did that, it sold, so maybe that will happen again.
So that info will be on laurahouse.com?
Yeah, I'll put it on there.
Let's do that. Yeah. Let's use the internet.
I've never done that before. Okay, you guys. I'm in.
Yeah, do it. Come on.
I'm in.
All right. Well, thank you so much, man.
Thank you, everyone.
And
do you want to promote any meditation stuff? Rock Your Mantra?
I'll also put that on. I just have put it all on laurahouse.com.
Okay.
People don't remember the other one. But
go to laurahouse.
Laurahouse.com. I'll put what I'm teaching meditation if you're in LA or traveling through LA. And I have a couple of, I'm going to do a solo show in August. Haven't nailed that down yet, though, but. So I'm on the move.
That
on
sounds
the
move, great.
A lot of action at laurahouse.com, guys.
Boy, post city.
Well, right on. I will be this weekend, July 14th through 16th, at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington. Chris was going to come with me, but he will be at...
At the Improv in Las Vegas this week instead.
Well. This weekend?
The whole week, Tuesday through Sunday.
Yeah, and then the week after that, I will be taking my nieces to surf camp.
Nice.
I'll be in Vegas this weekend. I did one podcast about meditation. I talked to Wally Langham from CSI.
Oh, yeah,
and he was
the
head writer on Larry Sanders. Mm-hmm. That's on my side as well.
Nice.
It's my first podcast. So
awesome.
Give me a break. My back.
What's the
Leave me alone, you guys. I'm doing my best.
Can we subscribe?
It's just on my site right now,
laurahouse.com,
right. Under the podcast part. But let's really get that going, everybody. Hands in America and the world.
Oh, awesome. Also, Chris and I will both be at Go Bananas Comedy Club July 28th through 31. And again, free Woot Monkey with all of the gift packs.
Yes.
Woo!
And if you buy a Comedy Film Nerd shirt and email us and say, hey, can I get a Woot Monkey?
No, there's actually a section in the cart that says customer notes. If you type in the customer notes while you're ordering a shirt, hey, can I have a Woot Monkey? We'll give you one.
Yeah.
It has to be a Comedy Film Nerd shirt.
Yes, Comedy Film Nerd shirt.
Oh.
And I did want to mention this. I actually have a new book that just came out. It's not on our site, but it is on Amazon. It's an e-book called Baby on a Budget for people that are having a baby that want a better way to afford it.
I didn't even know. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Another book.
Yes.
Look at this guy.
It's all budgeting tips. It's an e-book. It's only about $7. And it's on Kindle, but you can also get the Kindle app and you can read it on your computer. And it's on Amazon right now, so please check it out. Baby on a Budget.
Baby on a Budget. Chris has written a couple books.
Yeah, I made budgeting funny.
I make meditation funny.
Yeah.
We just make lame stuff funny.
Yeah.
Cleaning up your room. I make it hilarious.
Yes.
It's great.
Toilets funny. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much again, Laura House. Thank you to our intern, Seamus.
He's so good.
No, really, his name is Simon, and he's doing a wonderful job. My name's Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini, and as always,
Han shot first. We almost fucked that one up.
It's weird. We should practice more.